Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, this is Epiphany Sunday. And if you notice on your in your bulletins, the message is entitled On Being Fruitful. And do you want to know what that has to do with Epiphany? Nothing. I try to stick to the church calendar for things like this, but this is really something that I feel is really important that I speak about this week. So I'm not going to talk about the three wise men. I'm going to talk about being fruitful and how that's important for us. But don't worry. A few years ago, when my mom asked me what I wanted for Christmas, I told her I wanted a baby brother. Not only did I not get a baby brother for Christmas that year, but that's the last time she asked me what I wanted for Christmas. That's not the kind of fruitful we're talking about, though. We're talking about a different kind of fruitful. We're talking about what it is that we produce in our faith. And in particular, not just, you know, we have our fruits of the Spirit that you know, in the book of Galatians that Paul lists. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's that kind of fruitfulness. That's the kind of fruitfulness that we display. But I'm talking about a different kind of fruitfulness. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. He's talking about us. He's talking about us being the branches. Then he is the vine. We, as Christians, and I'm you know, I don't know everybody here really well, but I'm expecting everybody here is a Christian. Is everybody a Christian? If you're not, let me know. Okay. We're expected to produce this fruit. And this fruit is not just these things that Paul was talking about, but I think this fruit is also the fact that we need to tell people about Jesus. And sometimes we forget that. A lot of people are just, you know, really happy. Okay, I'm a Christian. Good. Done. I can sit back, relax, take it easy. My future is assured. But what about the people around us? The gospel lesson continues, you are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. That's, you know, we're Christians, we're clean, we're good, we're set, we're fine. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Well, everybody here is in church, so we're on our way. We're doing the things that we're pretty much expected to do as far as remaining in him. You know, we come to worship and we sing our hymns and you listen to a message, hopefully a good one. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, as Christians, that's what we're saying, is that we're his disciples. That's our claim. You know, the disciples weren't just those guys who were following Jesus around 2,000 years ago. Some people think that. Some people think, okay, those were the disciples. We're something different. We're disciples too. We're disciples too. Disciple means student. We're students. We're followers. Hopefully we're students. Hopefully we're spending time in Scripture. Hopefully we're spending time learning things. Maybe in Bible studies or in personal time spent with God. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. That last part's where I really want to focus. First of all, we didn't choose him, he chose us. He chose us. Now you see in the teacher-disciple relationship, usually it's the disciple that goes out and finds the teacher. That's the usual case. A couple of years ago when we signed Ruby up for martial arts lessons, I was doing a lot of research trying to find out where the best place to go was, and we finally picked a school and we went there, and I spoke to the Grand Master and I said, want to enroll my daughter in your school because this is the best martial arts school around. It wasn't the closest one to our house. It wasn't the cheapest, but it was the best. And we sought him out to be the master and Ruby to be his disciple. See, if you're looking for a teacher, you can shop around. You know, maybe we don't always get a choice with a public school, but we do in that kind of case, we have opportunities as, you know, to send our children to private schools. That opportunity is always there, provided we can pay for it, of course. We can shop around. You go to a university, you shop around, you decide which one you want. But in this case, the teacher came to the student and said, I want you to be my student. I want you to be my follower. And we get to accept or reject that. But it's important for us to remember that he chose us and he set us apart. He chose us and appointed us to go bear fruit. That's our job. Now, it's important to look at the context of Scripture and know who Jesus is talking to. And in this particular case, Jesus was talking to not his special group of apostles. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to everybody that was following him. He was talking to us today. He was talking to us 2,000 years later because he chose us. He has appointed us to bear fruit. That is to share the good news with the rest of the world. Because let's face it, not everybody made it to church today. There's people sick. I understand that. There's something going around. And if I was sick, I wouldn't be in church either, because I don't like to share. But there are people who aren't in church because they don't go to church. There are people that aren't in church because they don't care to go to church. There are people in church because they don't know why they're supposed to be in church. And we have the opportunity to share that information with them. We have the opportunity to share the love of Christ. We have the opportunity, the responsibility, and the calling to do these things. God's got a job for everybody. He does. And every once in a while, you know, I'm not the kind of person who will go up to somebody and say, this is what God has for you to do. You know, and if anybody ever comes up to you and says, God wants you to do this, question that, because it's not always right. I had a guy came up to me on the street one time and he said to me, The Lord God commands you to give me $5 for lunch. And I told him, if the Lord God was commanding me to give you $5 for lunch, he'd know that I didn't have $5. You got to watch out for those people, especially if they're in the pulpit. Watch out for everybody in the pulpit, especially me. Well, including me. Maybe not especially me. Including me. But here's a case where I can tell you that this is what God has sent you to do, because it says that he has appointed us. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. I heard a preacher preaching on this message not too long ago who actually went as far as to say that if we keep our faith a secret, if there is someone in our lives that we have not told about the love of Christ, that is a sin. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I'm not going to go as far as to say that if you haven't shared the love of Christ with everybody in your life, that you're a sin. Well, maybe it is, because a sin is falling short. And we're called to this. Clearly, he's appointed us to this. He has set us in charge of people in our lives that we need to give the good news to. And it is good news. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So we're supposed to go into all the world, and maybe that all of the world starts in your apartment, works its way down the hall, upstairs, downstairs, however it goes, we are called to share this good news. And I think the reason that I am supposed to tell you this story, supposed to tell you this right now, is because it's important and it's urgent. It's important that you know this. It's important that we know this. And it's important that we act upon this, because we never know. We're good. We're Christian. We're Christians. We're set. We're Christians. We're followers of Christ. We're His disciples. We're set. We're going to heaven. Yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, a woman in Apello, Pennsylvania, was walking her dogs. The car skid out on the ice and killed her. It's all over the news. Tragic, tragic story. They didn't say anything about her family. I don't know where her family was, but I wonder if she knew Jesus. I don't know. They never mentioned that in the papers, but I wonder. None of us is guaranteed another day. But as I say, everybody in this room, we're set. But what about the people that we know? What about our family members? What about our neighbors? Because they're not guaranteed another day either. I mean, this woman went out to walk her dogs and she never made it home. Who's to say that somebody you know might not wake up tomorrow? I guarantee you there are people who didn't wake up this morning. There is an urgency to this, because for somebody, it may be too late. But granted, everybody gets to make up their own mind. Everybody gets to make their own decision. But they need to know. They need to know that that choice is there. It is hard to talk to people about this sometimes. I understand that. I have a hard time talking to people about it sometimes myself. But it's important that they know. It's important that they know they have a decision to make. This is one of those things that we know we've been chosen for. Our faith should not be a secret. It's not only a matter of displaying the spiritual gifts I spoke about before, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. You know, there was a wise man once said that we are to go out into the world and preach the gospel using words if necessary. Y'all have heard that before, right? Using words if necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary to use words. There is an urgency. I was reminded as I was getting ready for the service, for the putting the bulletin together last night, Robin asked me, is this Epiphany Sunday or is it next week? And I said, I'm pretty sure it's next week. So I looked it up just to make sure, because I've been wrong. I get wrong a lot. Oh, Epiphany's on Tuesday, so where's Epiphany Sunday? Well, it's today. I started thinking, do I put this off till next week? God said, no, you can't put it off. And there's someone here today that's getting the same answer. You can't put it off. None of us are promised another day. None of us are promised another week. Somebody needs to hear the good news, and they need to hear it from you, because they're not going to listen to anybody else. They're not going to listen. You could bring them here and let me tell them. But I'll tell you the truth, they might not listen to me. They might reject what you say, but that's up to them. That's up to them. The truth is that Jesus has chosen everyone. He wants no one to perish. Even if you personally, you know, who here says, you know, we should all be glad that you're not in charge of who gets blessed. If it was up to me, quite honestly, there's some people probably wouldn't be. I'm really glad God's in charge of that. But everybody gets to make their decision. But they need to know that they have that decision. And they need to know that the decision needs to be made. Not making a decision is really making a decision. And it's not a good one. We have been chosen. And we have been appointed, set aside, anointed to go and bear fruit, every one of us. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.com.